Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. It is Valentine's Day weekend as we sit here recording. And of course, if it's Valentine's Day weekend, who's going to be around but my good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, what the hell is up with you?
You know, I celebrate Valentine's Day like I do every year. Celebrating my birthday.
Well, there you go. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
What have you done to celebrate?
I went and got a nice fancy steak dinner with mom, and that's about it, because it's been shitty out. It's been real snowy lately, and that sucks.
I think that applies to many places.
Yeah.
At least in the United States currently. Not great weather. So staying inside is preferable. And what can you do when you stay inside? You can watch some Joshi Pro Wrestling.
Oh, that's perfect for staying inside.
That's what we've been doing, and we're going to talk about it here on this show. But before we do, of course, we have to get the plugs in. I still have not created a Blue Sky account for this podcast. So follow us on Twitter at JBombAudio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tame Aimbo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice happens to be Apple Podcasts, we would love a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get right into it. We are going to be talking in depth about Tokyo Joshi's Max Hart Tournament Finals from Korakuen Hall on February 8th in front of a, well, paltry is probably not the correct word, but a low 551 people. Wouldn't you say that, Kelly?
Yeah, that's not a great number, but it was kind of fitting for a not super great show. Like it was a fine show. Just like this, that's a fine number.
I actually weirdly thought, I don't think this is the right word, but the only word I could really think of was sleepy.
Yes.
It felt a little sleepy, although I did end up, and you'll see as we go through, I did end up liking quite a lot of this show, mm-hmm. but still sort of left being like, that was sort of sleepy. It feels like the tag, the Max Hart tag tournament has sort of not quite followed the rise of maybe some of the other parts of the company. It just feels like they haven't quite gotten it to the level where people are really excited by it. I think the main event was a bit more comedic facing, and maybe that's why some people didn't go expecting yeah. sort of a comedy match, which is sort of what happened.
Mm-hmm. Largely yeah. Japanese, and really all tag title tournament or tag tournaments are kind of bad.
Yeah, I think this one is not helped by the fact that the first two rounds are like on their small, very small house shows.
Yeah.
So it makes it feel very sort of, hey, you want to see the finals? And it's like, well, we didn't really care about the first few rounds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but as I said, and as we'll see, I actually ended up quite liking this show. So it is weird that it ended and I was sort of like, that was a sleepy show that I enjoyed.
It's the same energy that their shows normally do. And it's disappointing because it was an interesting card. So I was hoping it would be good. And like, I don't think it was bad, but it was very sleepy.
Well, let's dive into the individual matches here. The first match of the evening, an opening 6-woman tag team match. Chika Nanase, Kaya Toribami, and Yoshiko Hasegawa defeated Ivy Steele, Kira Summer, and Shino Suzuki in 9 minutes and 38 seconds. Kelly, what did you think of this opening match?
I thought it was a solid enough opener. Really, the only thing that stood out to me is that Kira Summer is really kind of starting to come along well. I feel like she's carrying herself with a lot of confidence at the moment, and she just comes off really well at the moment. So I think she's starting to get there. But other than that, nothing super notable in this match, I thought.
I thought it was fine. Actually, I thought the highlight for me was the Hasegawa Shino Suzuki exchanges. And that was the finishing sequence as well. But they had the good forearm exchange. I thought that was good. Other than that, I found it to be a fairly standard opening, get some people on the card match. Really no complaints, but nothing else really stood out that strongly to me.
Yeah.
The next match was our first of many singles matches on this card as Yuki Kamifuku defeated Mifu Ashida in 7 minutes and 1 second. Kelly, your thoughts on this one?
I thought we got a decent enough performance out of Mifu Ishida here, but I was kind of hoping she would stand out a little bit more, so it didn't seem like much of a performance where I'm like, okay, she's doing great. It was just like, yeah, she's doing fine.
I will say, and Mr. Haku brought this up on commentary, which I thought was very astute, that Mifu Ishida has only now had, and I'm looking officially at Cage Match, she has had 50 matches in her career. She had 14 in 2023, 27 last year, and has actually already had 9 this year. Last year at this point, she had only had 2. she had 1 match in January and 1 match in February. So I think that sort of helped me. You sort of think of people coming in and you're like, oh, they're already sort of established, especially when they don't have the path of like, oh, they're a total rookie to this. With that in mind, I thought Mifu looked solid. She's a bit slow. She has a bit of the slowness in the ring where things seem to take a long time to develop. But I thought the good thing was I think she has some nice looking offense. She had it's not a back handspring, but she had the whatever it was, avoiding the eye poke near the beginning of the match. She has some solid kicks, so she has a good foundation, I think.
Yeah.
I think she just has to start working, you know, as I said, two matches in the first 2 months of last year, and actually through May of last year had only had six matches. So I think she had more matches in January than she had in the first 5 months of 2024. So I think working more regularly in that way will be very helpful. And hopefully she sort of gets up to speed with that stuff.
For
it
sure.
It just appears now that it's that sort of slow, like, everything I do, I'm really thinking, and I don't want anything to go wrong here.
She's got a bit of the baby giraffe.
Yes, a bit of like, like you're so worried about things going wrong that you just slow down, and then it just sort of looks sluggish.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully that will improve. And as I said, she's certainly got some good foundation to her offense. So looking forward to seeing more. The next match, speaking of Valentine's Day weekend, it was a tag team match, Raku and Ram Kai Chow defeating Haruna Neko and Mihiro Kiryu. The big event in this match was Mihiro stealing a gifted box of chocolates from Raku and Ram and then proceeding to eat them to ensure that they were not a foreign object. Which I thought was the highlight of the match, because other than that, I didn't really think much of this match.
Yeah.
The chocolate stuff was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't make the Valentine's Day connection until they came out, and I was like, oh, that's why they're having these two tag on this show.
Yes, because they are in love and giving each other gifts in the middle of matches.
Yep. So it's the perfect timing, really.
Yeah, I think also that Mihiro really is now, she's had a very weird journey where it felt like last year they were going to be like, now she's going to be a real, like, we're really going to put something behind her. And now she's very solidly in, like, I come to the ring and I do one joke and then I will leave.
And then I get hit by a bike later on the show.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, I think, again, as the in-ring stuff gets better, there's a little bit of like, okay, the third match on this card is sort of one where I'm like just watching it for comedy, which I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. But she does it well, so I guess that's fine.
Yeah.
The next match was another singles match, a bunch of singles matches in a row here. It was Ariso Endo defeating Wakana Uehara in 10 minutes and 32 seconds. Thought this was a good win for Endo. I also wrote in my notes, I would imagine they are eventually angling for Endo versus Suzume. And boy, would I be proven correct. Match was fine. This was probably maybe the singles match I was most looking forward to. But just thought it was fine. Thought it'd be a little bit more exciting, especially with Endo in there, who's so good. But I thought it was just sort of a solid middle of the card effort. And didn't really think much more of it.
Yeah. It got a little sloppy near the end, but that may have just been them selling exhaustion because they were fighting so hard. It was hard to tell. But I thought they both came across pretty well, and it was a decent enough match.
The next singles match was Miyu Watanabe defeating Uta Takami in 7 minutes and 55 seconds. This was really the match I expected. Uta showing some grit, battling against Miyu, and then, of course, going down. I liked the block initially of the giant swing from Uta really holding on to Miyu's legs. I also wrote in my note, Mirai could never, because she can't beat any inexperienced rookies.
I think this was actually my favorite match of the show. Like, I really loved this. I thought Uta put up a great fight and just got tossed around. And I think she's actually getting good. I'm enjoying Uta in this role. Like, it's just the horrible goblin getting smashed by Miyu. And it was, you know, it could have been just a really simple squash and been done in 3 minutes, but Miyu gave Uta a lot. And just the... I loved her using the baseball chop to win the match, because that's such a good need my finisher here thing to do. So I really enjoyed this match. I only went 3.5, but like, it was my favorite match of the show.
Oh, interesting. So we'll have some very differing opinions on later matches on this card. If 3.5 was your peak.
I do have a higher rating. Like, oh, okay. There is an objectively better match on this show, but like, this was just my favorite.
A personal preference. Okay.
Like, if we're going enjoyment stars or whatever, this gets like 4.
Yeah, I was going to say 3.5. 3.5 is your high. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah. What are we getting into? I can't justify going higher than 3.5. Like, this wouldn't actually make my notebook, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Before the next match, they talked about Grand Princess happening again this year and announced that Miyu Watanabe will be facing off in a singles match against Willow Nightingale from AEW. Not rematch, but a redo.
Yeah.
Of maybe I would have to think the most famous canceled match in Tokyo Joshi history. because the initial match was canceled and Ryo Mizunami subbed in for that match. I believe it was due to visa issues. That was the initial problem.
Or was there like a tsunami or something coming?
I don't remember, but it was something she couldn't get in the country.
Yeah,
I think. And then, of course, Ryu becoming such a big part. But now we'll face Willow Nightingale. And frankly, I think it will be worth the wait, because I think Willow is better now than she was a few years ago.
And same with Miyu. Like, I think this was good to hold off.
So I think it will work out. That should be a good, fun match. Looking forward to that one. But that was announced. They sent in a video from Willow, who seemed very excited. Kind of, you know, a fun promo saying, oh, I have a match. I'll be there. And also I have a match. So that was good. But then we got right back into the singles matches. Yuki Aino defeating Haru Kazushiro in 8 minutes and 27 seconds. And I have to say I thought the match was good, solid match. I think that Tokyo Joshi has to be really happy with Haru, because when she started, you know, very young, and we talked about on the show, it's like, all right, you know, very inexperienced, obviously. She has many years where she can develop because she's a child. But I think that she's improved faster than I thought she would.
Yes.
And I think she's become very solid. So I think Tokyo Joshi would have to be like, wow, she's actually, you know, I remember those first few months or whatever it was, weeks, months, you know, her wrestling, she looked very tentative. That's really gone away. So I think this was really a proof of her development. I think that's what I took away more than sort of enjoyment of the match itself. But really, kudos to her for improving rapidly, really. I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my main takeaway.
Yeah, that's the same for me. Like, it's been amazing watching just how fast this current crop of rookies is growing.
Yeah, I think there's gonna be some, you know, and I think with Haru still very young, I think there probably will still be a lot of like bringing along slowly, which is perfectly fine, but it's very interesting to me to see what they do with some of these rookies, you know, as they have gaps in the card. You know, do they try with some of these people very fast? I'm very interested with what they do with Wakana, who they're clearly behind, but they haven't really done much with in terms of saying, oh, go and, you know, go out there and do this, put, you know, yourself on the line in a title match or something. You know, she won the rookie tournament and things like that, but it will be interesting to see if they sort of have a sink or swim moment with any of these workers sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
The next match was a tag team match, a preview of an upcoming title match as Rika Tatsumi and Toga defeated Himawari and Mizuki in 15 minutes and 22 seconds. This to me felt very Row 2
yes.
Style, just sort of teasing a bit of Mizuki and Rika, who have never had a singles match.
That's kind of surprising.
Which I almost couldn't believe when Mr. Haku said that. I was like, is that true?
Yeah.
It seems like, how did they pull that off?
Yeah, that's crazy that all these years just it's never happened.
Like that it never happened. And I know they have the whole story of, you know, Rika loves Mizuki. And so they've had that sort of to play with. But you would have think many years ago, they would have just been like, oh, we need a singles match. Put them in a singles match together.
Yeah.
So I guess impressive. This match, like I said, very Road 2 style. I thought it was fine. You know, went 15 minutes, which was sort of surprising, which was pretty lengthy. Nothing really much to say about it. Rika pinning Himawari, so getting some momentum, but not, you know, in the classic pinning the champion style. So we'll see what that means for their title match. Kelly, what'd you think?
My only real takeaway from this match is that I actually really like the Rika Tatsumi Toga team and would like to see them tag together more going forward.
The semi-main event was an international princess title match. It was Suzume's first defense, successfully defending her title against Jada Stone in 12 minutes and 29 seconds. And Kelly, I am fascinated to hear what you thought of this match because I have thoughts.
I thought this was an incredibly uneven match. Suzume, great. She makes things look really good when she was in control of the match. Jada Stone is still very clunky in the ring. She has a lot of the raw athleticism, but not the skill yet. She needs to work on stuff quite a bit. I think this was far too high of a spot for her. And without Suzume as kind of the glue to this match, it would have been a complete disaster. As is, I think it was fine. Not a match I would have semi-mained with. I ended up just going 2¾ on it. It wasn't a disaster, so it was pretty good, but by that standard.
Kelly, 2025 is the year of disagreement with really? Kelly and Taylor. I went 4¼ stars.
What the fuck?
I really liked it for some reason. I think I went in with like no expectations of it being anything. And then I was like, wow, they're like flipping around. Like, this is crazy. And like Suzume flipping on her head at the beginning of the match, I was like, whoa. 4¼, I sort of went 4¼, even though I was sort of like, oh, I would probably go 4. And then I went 4¼ just because I was having a good time. I just thought it was fun. You know, it's not like the greatest match of all time or anything close to that. But I just thought it was fun. You know, I thought it was good, even though it isn't the smoothest match, to like see things and be like, wow, they're doing crazy athletic things in there. So I've just really liked it. So that's my thoughts on this match.
And meanwhile, I'm grandpa watching like, oh, those two are going to get hurt if they keep this up.
Yeah, but they didn't get hurt. So
shockingly,
get off your rocker, grandpa.
I will not.
I don't know. I also know I'm much higher than the consensus because Cage Match has it at 7.45, which is what, 3? Well, I guess it's 3¾ almost.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm not that far off.
So it's right between us.
Yeah. I also think maybe I'm just so used to like people coming in and it being like, and we have Shaza McKenzie. And I'm like, oh God. That I'm like, oh my God, someone who can like is an athlete in some
now presenting someone that can barely move.
I was watching the show and thinking, How quickly will Jada Stone be a WWE ID member?
Yeah.
If she isn't already, I don't really know anything about her.
No.
So I think that is also why I was like, oh, she's got some fun stuff going on. So I really liked it. And this is part of the thing where I was like, I like the upper part of this card, but still at the end found it sleepy. I think also part of that is the main event. But before we get to the main event, I thought that they were going to slow roll it, but they're, I guess, not interested in that. As Risa Endo came out and challenged Suzume for the International Princess title. And Suzume actually said, well, I was going to call you out at the end of the match. So agreeing to a match there, which should be a very good match.
Yeah. No, I'm very excited for that. Is that going to be on the big show? Or have they said where it's going to be?
I don't know that they've announced it. I don't know that I saw where it's going to be yet. But we'll see. I would assume that's where it would be. Because if you're doing it on a big show, I mean, that's sort of Suzume's biggest match.
Yeah.
That she could have. I'm trying to think if, I mean, I guess unless you did like Suzume versus, I don't know. I can't even think of someone. I was like Maki Ito, but I'm like, no, Maki Ito will be defending the tag titles.
You bring Mirai back and they have a match.
Now that actually would be, that would be big.
Yeah.
Anyway, but then the last match we had was the finals of the Max Hart tournament. Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima finally winning it, defeating Max the Impaler and Pom Harajuku in 16 minutes and 28 seconds. I liked this match. I wasn't over the moon about it. I went 4 stars. I thought it was a pretty solid match. I thought the best parts of the whole match were Max continuously obliterating Shoko Nakajima, including slamming her on the side of the apron.
That was so gross.
Which looked crazy. It's like, oh my God. Probably the other highlight, although I don't think it went off exactly the way they wanted, it was Masao riding the bike down the stairs and nearly crashing into the seats.
Or anything other than a complete disaster is a wonderful success.
Well, I thought she was going to go head over.
I did too.
So I was like, good. She made it all the way down.
Yeah. No one died. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
I thought it was a fun match in the end. I thought there was slightly, would have liked to see slightly less comedy in the beginning. I think when the match started, I was sort of like, oh, Pom's still in like comedy, like running away mode. And I was like, okay, this is fine. And then at the end, like the last 3 or 4 minutes, she got really serious. And I was like, oh, this is fun. This is like a change of pace, which I liked. And she was hitting the Palm to Justice. And Nahaku was like, she hits the Palm to Justice every 5 years, which I thought was fun. And then losing, I think Hyper and Shoko winning is fun. And they should have a good title match. But I think compared to some of the other Max Hart tournament, I mean, we had the one, you know, I think the last 2 or 3 years I've been a little bit higher on these.
Yeah.
They've been sort of fringe match of the year type matches, like 4.5, 4.25-ish. And this didn't feel really close to that, which I think also is part of it sort of delivered the match that probably some people expected and maybe why less people came, because they're thinking, okay, it's going to be mostly a comedy affair. And it wasn't totally, but still had a lot of comedy in it.
Mm-hmm. Like, it was a really fun match and very comedy heavy, but I felt like they kind of handled the tone really well. Like, it never felt like it wasn't a tournament final. Like, that was always kind of, that was there. The importance of the match was always there, even though they were doing comedy spots quite a bit. Max was really the glue that held everything together here. Without Max, the match wouldn't have worked 100%. But yeah, ultimately, the right team won, even though I would have enjoyed seeing Max and Pom pick up the win. Yeah, I thought it was good, though. I went 3¾ on it, so it didn't crack 4 for me, but was still very good.
Yeah, I think there also is a limited shelf life to Max and Pom, and I feel like this may be closer to the end of it. It just feels like if you put them together again, like 2026, oh, they enter the tournament again. Are they going to get to the finals again?
Yeah. I don't know. I think this might be the peak for the team.
Yeah, it just feels like at this point you would have wanted to go all the way, or then just be like, okay, they did great and their peak is getting to the finals.
Yeah.
Which I think may be the case. Because I was thinking, oh, maybe they win, and then, like, if they win, you would then have to think they win the tag titles. And I thought it would be fun if Max made the pin here and then Pom gets the pin in the tag title match, because that would have been the big, like, ah, she did it moment. And then they can lose the titles whenever. But they lost the match, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, and I would have been perfectly fine with them being the ones to beat Miyu and Ito.
Yeah, I think there's really no... what am I trying to say? Like, anyone can sort of beat Miyu and Maki because it feels like they don't really matter. Although it still feels like Miyu is built up as this, like, no one can beat her ever. She's like an undefeatable machine, which feels weird as they de-emphasize her in the booking. You know what I mean? Like, every match she has, it's like a reminder of, like, yeah, no one beats Miyu.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, which is just strange to me, because it's like sort of having two sides of different things, where it's like, well, do you want her sort of fading back, or do you want it to be this thing where the rest of your roster is getting swallowed up? Like, I think there is a moment when it sort of feels more and more like you're letting this person swallow up your roster because you set this story, but the story isn't serving you anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's Miyu's in such a weird place, because in all honesty, I don't know what she wants. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, are you trying to get signed somewhere else?
Yeah, I think she's just sort of like, well, I've done everything I can do in Tokyo Joshi. And it's like, well, if that's the case, why are you coming back and winning the tag titles again?
Yeah. And Maki Ito is in very much the same place, but there is still stuff for her to do.
Yeah, I just think with Maki, the difference is, I think she had sort of the story, and then it was, oh, that story that everyone thought was happening didn't really happen, which was like, I'm the underdog and I'm finally going to overcome all the challenges. And now she's sort of like, I just want to go wherever I want. And now it's like, well, then who cares about this story, because you're barely here anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's realized she can make a lot of money in GCW.
Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, I hope Misao and Nakajima win the titles, because I think they would be a fun team to have the titles, and I think they could have some fun matches. And then I think they could probably, down the road, hold them for a while and then maybe get beaten by Suzume and Endo reuniting and winning. Mm-hmm. And then you could get one last guest appearance, Miyu and Maki challenge, and then maybe Daisy Monkey beats them to be the final. Like, now we're finally here.
That would be nice.
But we'll see. Usually with Tokyo Joshi booking, the thing I think is happening is not what's happening.
So. Or, and if it happens, it'll be 4 years from now.
Yeah, that is right. So that was the Tokyo Joshi Max Hart Tournament Finals. What else has been happening in the world of Joshi stardom? Had a show on the 12th of February. Miyu Amazaki and Hanako went to a time limit draw in a battle for the Future of Stardom title. Victoria Yuzuki retained the Superfly title in Marigold against Misa Matsui. Seedling had a show on the 12th. The main event was a six-person tag. It was Ayame Sasamura, Unagi Saika, and Yumi Kahoda defeating Makoto, Nagisa Nosaki, and Veni when Hoda choked out Veni to end the match. Now, Kelly, you have not seen this, right?
I have not.
So the show closing angle is the highlight of the show. There's some other fun stuff on the show. They had a rookie sparring exhibition at the beginning of the show. The new seedling rookie was there sparring. But really, this angle was great. So Hoda chokes out Veni. Veni's lying there. The ref is in the ring, you know, trying to revive her. Hoda goes over and grabs La Fresa's chair that they bring to the ring and throws it at Veni while the ref is trying to be like, wake up. Like, you know, the usual, like, are you okay? What's going on? Veni stands up and throws the chair back at Hoda, and they start fighting. People are running in the ring. They're separating them. A chain is in the ring. They're like on the bottom of this scrum as people try and pull them apart. They pull them apart. Veni is bleeding from the forehead.
Nice.
Quite a lot of blood. Sits in the corner, cutting a promo. I believe after the back and forth, Hoda challenged her to a title match. Said she wanted it to be a death match. I don't think that's happening.
Oh,
they are having a match on the 20th, a title match on the 20th, but she cuts this promo covered in blood, then stands up and they start fighting again and people are running in the ring and, you know, trying to separate them. So great closing angle. If you haven't seen it, go check it out.
Yeah. I got to track that down. That sounds awesome.
Cause it's a super fun angle there and heats up what, you know, could have been. They very easily could have just been like, oh, Hoda won and now she'll challenge and that could have been it, and it would have just sort of been like, okay. And now it's a fun little twist to that. But Kelly, a show I know you did watch was the Oz Academy show on February 9th with two tag title matches.
Yeah, they were both really good matches. For the opener was the what was this tag title? This was the Marvelous tag titles, right?
Yes, the opening tag was the the AAAW.
Yes,
titles. Yeah.
It was Ryo Mizunami and Sona Kakato defeating Bob Momo Banana, Mio Momono, and Yuri Oka. A really good opener. Kind of a crazy opener when you think about it, but yeah, killer match there. And then in the main event, the Oz tag titles were on the line with FWC, Hazuki and Koguma successfully defending against Akino and Kohaku. I think of the two matches, that was my favorite. I'd probably go 3¾ on both of them, but the main was definitely my favorite of the two. So fun matches. Still really cool to see Hazuki and Koguma working outside of stardom.
Miyu Momono, just incredibly unsuccessful in Oz, generally.
Yeah.
In terms of defending titles. But that would not be the worst news of her day, which we'll talk about in a few seconds. Tokyo Joshi also had their Bullet Train show. I have not watched that show yet. That happened on the 15th. The Sendai Girls, the same day as the Oz Academy show, Baba Momo Banana also had to defend the Sendai Girls tag team titles and also lost those tag team titles. Although part of me maybe wonders if there was a little bit of a switch late in the match. But Red Energy, Mika Iwata, and Miyuki Takase defeated Baba Momo Banana, The team, of course, of Mio Momono and Yurika Oka in 17 minutes and 13 seconds. It was announced after the show that Mio had suffered a UCL injury and will be out 3 to 6 months. I'm pretty sure I know where in the match it happened. There's a moment when all of a sudden everyone's out of the ring, and I think it was Mika is just standing in the ring, and it's clearly like a happening here moment.
Yeah.
I don't know if they called an audible on the fly, but most of the match, I would say from that point on, about 95% of the match was Oka wrestling. There was maybe, I'm trying to think, like maybe if I remember correctly, 3 or 4 moments when Mio was in the ring, and you could
Mio kind of came back at the end. Like, you know, that was definitely just the adrenaline kicked in. It's like, all right, let's finish the match. And I give her so much props for that.
Yeah, and you could sort of see the way she was holding her arm that something clearly was going on.
Yeah.
Again, I have no idea if they were supposed to retain and then realize she was injured, and maybe she was like, oh, my arm is really screwed. You know, pin Yurika. Yeah. I have no idea. But anyway, really not a great day for Bob Momo Banana.
No,
two title losses and an injury.
This match is just really remarkable and shows you how these four are such pros, because you know 90% of this match is not what they kind of planned on going in, because they had to just switch to where it's pretty much just the Yurika Oka show. And I thought everyone here did incredible. I thought Oka was fantastic, to the point where I was really wondering, like, okay, is Mio actually hurt, or is this just the plan of the match? And then I had to look it up later. It's like, okay, no, she's really hurt. But they did such a great job, and the match flowed really well, all things considered. I do love that Mio is like, my arm's fucked, but we got to put these fruit hats on before we do our moves.
Yeah, really, except for that moment of sort of what's going on, there was really no other moment, knowing that she was injured.
Yeah.
That it felt like, oh, something really is going wrong here. Something is not, you know, something's out of place. It was that moment when everyone was sort of like, what's going on? And then they got back into it, and it was fine.
Yeah. No, I thought everyone did a great job here. I went 4.25. I thought this was tremendous, but damn, it sucks that Mio actually got hurt.
Yeah, one of the most cursed wrestlers, I have to say, in terms of injuries around. So hopefully, they said 3 to 6 months. Hopefully, it's closer to 3 than 6.
Hopefully.
Keep our fingers crossed and send best wishes for quick healing.
Mm-hmm.
Ice Ribbon had a show on February 11th. That had two title matches. Kairi Onoyama winning the Triangle Ribbon in a match with Arisa Shinose and Kyuri. And Akane Fujita resurrecting the Fantast Ice title for the first time since 2021, defending it successfully for the first time against An Cham in 16 minutes. Speaking of resurrected titles, in Wave, they had a show on the 11th where the soon-to-be-retired Hikari Shimizu defeated Rina Amakura to win the Colors title, a title that has not been defended since 2023. So we're really bringing all the titles back here.
Yeah.
And as I said, Hikari Shimizu approaching retirement, so I think that the Colors title changing hands is largely a ceremonial one.
Shimizu said, I'm retiring a champion.
Yeah, give me a title to hold up as I walk out the building.
Who needs titles to go away? I will retire them.
But Kelly, what else has been happening in the last 2 weeks of Joshi?
We had some produce shows recently, as of recording yesterday and today. On the 15th was the Mayukihi 10th anniversary show at Kurikan Hall. Very fun show. I think the standout match for me was Shuji Ishikawa defeating Hiro Matsumoto. Just brutal, brutal stuff. They beat the shit out of each other. Matsumoto was awesome here, just never backing down from this giant man. Just this was a dude's rock match. I went 4 stars. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. You also had a Fire Pro match, Dash Chisako, Jaguar Yokota, and Mai Sakurai defeating Kakeru, Risa Sarah, and Utami. Where the hell else are you going to see those wrestlers team up together? And then in the main event, you had Hikaru Shida and Michael Nakazawa defeat Kota Ibushi and Maya Yukihi. I thought this was a really fun match. I went 3.5 stars on it. I don't even know if it was actually good or not, but it was just a good vibes match. I still can't tell if Ibushi is washed or not. I thought he did fine enough here, but like he was mostly wrestling Michael Nakazawa, who is a fine wrestler, but barely wrestles anymore. So it's like, I don't know how much of that was on Nakazawa or Ibushi. I thought the Ibushi stuff with Shida was good. There was a point in the match where they kept doing a spot where Yukihi was trying to kick Michael Nakazawa while Ibushi was holding him, and Nakazawa kept ducking, and she would, and Yukihi would hit Ibushi. There is one time where she caught him flush in the face. He looked like it sucked. And I think she actually busted open his mouth in that bit. But yeah, fun match, fun show overall. I definitely recommend checking it out. And then from today, the 16th, I haven't seen this show. Unagi had another produce show in Currican Hall. I thought it was worth noting that this single match show between Unagi and Meiko Satomura sold out Currican Hall. 1,603 people. That is remarkable. Unagi, best box office draw for sure.
I should say with the Maya Yukihi show, I think I saw her interview after the show. And I think she talked about how her doctor had actually forbid her to wrestle on the show. And she had to sign some sort of waiver saying no one was responsible if she was injured or something happened. So I believe her injuries that she has are quite substantial.
Yeah, if you have you seen the scar on her arm?
I have not, no.
It's wild looking.
But this may be the last time we see Yukihi, possibly for a bit, if her doctor is forbidding her, banning her from wrestling.
I think because Mr. Haku was on commentary for this, I think he said the plan initially was for her to work 4 matches on this show. And she cut it down to 1, but she was not going to miss this show. That's another one. I give her a ton of credit, and really she never looked like, oh, she's clearly injured. She looked great here. So I had a ton of credit, you know, happy she was able to put on a really good show for her anniversary.
Also, if you haven't seen the match graphic for Ishikawa and Matsumoto, I recommend checking that out.
It's so good.
Ishikawa looks gigantic and Matsumoto looks very small.
I am so into accurate height match graphics.
But that is what has been happening in the last 2 weeks of Joshi. What is coming up? Well, Stardom has on the 24th of February, Path of Thunder. Fun show name. A few matches announced for that. Tam Nakano and Sayaka Carrara will face off against Saya Kamatani and a partner to be named later. Miyu Amasaki will defend the Future of Stardom title against Tina. Hanan and Saya Ida will defend the Goddesses of Stardom titles against Mei Sierra and Suzu Suzuki.
Well, that sounds great.
And Starlight Kid will defend the Wonder of Stardom title against Rina. Yes, I was going to say the tag title match, to me, sounds the most interesting of those 4 matches, although I know that Tom and Saya and Sayaka storyline is probably the most prominent I would say, or at least one of the most prominent storylines happening right now.
Do we think Saya is going to have like a cool partner, or is it just going to be like, oh, it's Ruaka?
I don't know. The fact that it wasn't, the fact that it isn't an ex, it said on the website, and a partner to be named later, makes me feel like it's going to be someone who's in stardom already.
Yeah.
Maybe something will happen and someone will turn or something. And that will be that, but we'll have to see. It doesn't seem like it's like a new person, because that seems like they would be advertising like X.
Yeah.
So, yep. But we will see also on March 1st, New Blood 19. They are really cranking out these New Bloods now. That will be on the 1st. Oz has a show on the 23rd of February. Tokyo Joshi has Go Girl 5, which is their all-women audience show. On March 1st.
Oh, those are usually really fun.
Yeah, they are usually fun shows. And they've now, this will be the fifth one. So clearly a successful idea, which is also good to,
good to see. It's five. Call it Go Girl Girl. Go is five in Japanese.
Yeah. You're right.
Do it. Do it. Go Girl Girl.
Marigold will have a Korakuen Hall show. Three big matches on that. Bozilla and Mirai will face off. Mai Sakurai will face off against Chen Yoda for the United National title. Kelly, you have the stipulations.
Oh, yes, yes, match. Yes. I saw the stipulation. You know, it's big, big stuff. If Mai Sakurai wins, Chen Yoda becomes her personal trainer. If Chan Yoda wins, Mai Sakurai has to buy, I think it's 100 copies of her photo book. So a lot on the line here.
A lot on the line. And then the Twin Star tag titles will be on the line. The new champions, Nanae Takahashi and Sarah Yamaoka, will defend against Utami and Victoria Yuzuki. Ice Ribbon has a show on February 24th. That will have an Ice Infinity title. The new champion, Manami Katsu, will face off against Totoro Satsuki. And Sae Kamitani, who we talked about a few minutes ago, will defend her Regina De Wave title in Wave on March 2nd against Yumi Oka. So that should be a good one. And that is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi. So now we throw it over to Kelly for Kelly's Corner.
I probably talked about this movie a couple months back, but I'm talking about it again because it's been released on disc and on streaming. Hundreds of Beavers. Fucking love that movie. A modern silent slapstick film. You can get it from Vinegar Syndrome on disc. And I believe it's streaming if you have Prime. So watch it. It's so fun. It's so funny. I can't recommend it enough.
Well, there you go. That is Kelly's Corner. And that is all for us for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. We will be back again in 2 weeks' time, although who knows
maybe
what will be happening with that episode.
Yeah, because I'm traveling to New York and Taylor is not going to be there.
And I'm fleeing New York as Kelly
because he knows I'm coming.
So we'll see what happens. But we will be back with you soon. And until then, enjoy Joshi and goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.